This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Raise Your Game. Good morning, this is Audrey Raj. Wendy Lee from Chapter One Asia is back with us for part three of our Raise Your Game style series. And this time, we're going to cover personal grooming. Now, Wendy, of course, is known in the industry as the go-to person when it comes to brand image consulting. She has trained and coached more than 100,000 corporate executives, helping them define and refine their brand and image through their appearance, behavior, and communication. So, Wendy, over the past few weeks, we've been discussing all the things you can do to make the right impressions to climb the corporate ladder, like the way you dress, first impressions, the right colors. Today, we're getting into the nitty-gritty, grooming. So, why is personal grooming so important?
I think to be able to function and fit in today's society, you must make sure that your personal grooming is really up to standard. You know, job opportunities, relationship possibilities, and invitation to parties. Just like over the weekend, one of my relatives was saying that they are going to have another relative over, a sleepover, and they were, you know, sort of not so happy about it. And the reason was because that person actually has a very bad body odor.
Oh.
So whenever the person sleeps on the bed, the next day, the whole room will be filled with a pungent smell. So they were a little bit more hesitant about it. But because it's a relative, it's actually quite difficult to say it out. You know, how do you turn away a relative? So they just have to do it, you know. So I think personal grooming, right, is really, really not only for your job function, but when you're socializing, interacting with people. And good grooming actually shows that you pay attention to details. If I feel that you don't pay attention to all these details to yourself, you will not do so in your work either.
Okay, yeah? So let's go into a more detailed look at grooming. Let's talk about facial hair.
Now, ooh, blue.
Yes. Now, are these new age beards and mustaches okay for the workplace? You know, it's really in trend right now, right?
Yeah. I think I'm okay with men, bearded men. But I think you also have to be careful when you, should you decide to keep facial hair. One of the studies which I'd like to share is that there's this study at University of Hertfordshire concluded that there is a drop in the level of caring, cheerfulness and generosity. Apparently, bearded men are being perceived as 38% less generous,
what?
36% less caring and 51% less cheerful than their clean, shaven brethren. How true it is, we do not know.
Okay.
But that is a study. But I think It may also perhaps tie back to the level of aggression facial hair is seen to be associated with. I remember I had a boss many, many years ago. He's a very good-looking guy, tall guy, Indian, but he's got facial hair. So he's got the full works, the moustache, the beard and everything. So, and he was the one who told me, every time if he were to meet a customer, if a client is, you know, not as tall as him, he would need to quickly find a chair to sit so that the eye level is the same. He will not be seen as, you know, overpowering the other person if he were to stand up. So this has got everything to do with how, you know, he will come across to people as a little bit more aggressive. But in actual fact, he's a very, very nice gentleman. And so this is something interesting about facial hair. Surprisingly, facial hair can also alter your behavior and your self-image as well. There's been studies suggesting that clean-shaven men, right, when asked to wear moustache and beard, rated themselves as more masculine. And because of that, behave in a more assertive manner. And this is something that I see generally with younger boys, boys as in like fresh grads and all that. Sometimes in order for them to look a little bit older, they actually keep facial hair. Otherwise, they have that baby boy face, which makes it a little bit difficult for them to project that kind of professional image.
So is facial hair like this okay for, say, the sales profession?
Okay, depending on what sales, let's say if you are in a banking industry, for example, or if you are selling something which is like insurance, yeah, finance, I think you need to look a little bit more trustworthy. So I'm okay with facial hair, except that you have to make sure that it is nicely groomed and it's not, you know, disheveled everywhere. For example, if you are somebody who spots a 5 o'clock shadow, then you will need to be a little bit more hardworking as to shave more every day if possible. I think facial hair, regardless of whether it's due to religious reasons, style purposes, or perception issues, or whatever, I think to have beard or not to have beard is very much dependent on the person looking at you and the person hiring you. Mm. Right? So manage that impression accordingly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So while we're still on the face makeup, okay. When do you know that you've gone overboard with makeup?
When people keep staring at you early in the morning?
They could just be admiring your good looks.
Oh, wow. Well, if something goes wrong, usually people don't tell you. They just talk behind your back. Yeah. Okay, I think one of the things which I'd like to touch on would be, you just need a little bit of, you know, makeup during the day. So a couple of do's and don'ts. Example would be, you want to show a clean complexion. So say, for example, if your face is a little bit oily, you may want to put on a little bit of a powder, right? So the idea is, look fresh. Don't apply too heavy foundation, because anything too thick will crack eventually. And remember to blend. Pick a good foundation so that it looks, you know, you have that natural look. Yeah, don't overdo it. One important thing as well, give your cheeks some colours, right? To give, you know, that kind of fresh look. I think that a lot of girls, one of the most common mistakes is that they tend to wear lipstick only and not applying any blusher. So if your face look a little bit more sallow, a little bit more, you know, yellowish, pale and all that, apart from lipstick, you still need to put on a little bit of blusher. But don't overdo it, yeah? The idea is that think about after exercising, what would your face look like?
The natural flush.
Yeah. Right. That would be the colour of your blusher. And if it is daytime, do not use shimmer on your eyeshadows. No shimmers, right? No bling bling. Too much of that, okay? So choose appropriate eyeshadow colours. You can go natural. You can go a little bit more colours, bluish, greenish. It is okay if it's just a tint of it, yeah? And suitable makeup, one of the easiest way to identify whether it is okay or not okay, look around you. If everybody else don't look like you, then something is wrong. And the last one would be, if you want to look fresh the whole day, then you may want to opt for waterproof cosmetics.
Right.
Waterproof mascara, waterproof eyeliner, yeah, or long-wearing foundation to keep you look fresh. How much time do you think that we should spend putting on our makeup, actually?
Oh, I am the last person you should ask this.
You know, take a wild guess.
I don't know. 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes is the maximum. Yay!
Score!
Huh? Or if you can do it in a car, that would be better. But never ever spend more than 15 minutes. Then you're taking way too long to powder up yourself. So the idea is this. Always put a watch next to your, you know, all your cosmetics or on your dressing table, and you have to time yourself. So for example, if you are someone who's not very into or someone who's not very good in drawing your eyeliner, time yourself. Today you take 10 minutes, tomorrow you must take 8 and then 6 and then 5 and voila, a couple of seconds.
Okay, moving on from makeup to something a little bit more sensitive, let's talk about body hair.
Yeah, body hair. If you were to wear short sleeve and if you were to raise your arms, people will be able to see. So please, you know, your underarms, it's something that you should take care of as well. And legs, please do spend some time doing your waxing as well. You know, keep it well groomed, because people do look.
People do notice these things.
People do notice.
Okay, Wendy, moving on. Let's talk about tattoos and piercings. Yay or nay?
I think body art and body piercing still carry a stigma in this society. Yeah, so I feel that if you are someone who likes tattoos and all that, you actually have to be a bit mindful or careful of the person that you are going to meet. For example, if you're working for a company and if you are seen to be the brand ambassador of the company, then they would not want to have all these tattoos on your arms, because you basically represent them. I remember there was this boy that I know. He has this big toyol.
Toyol?
Toyol. He basically had a big toyol on his underarm, just nearby where his armpits are. And it was actually very interesting, because the rest of his hands were covered with other tattoos. Ooh. Except that he's got this really, really big toyol there. And I asked him why. And he said, it's just for fun, for the fun of it. And because of that, even though the company has a uniform, a t-shirt, he had to wear like an inner tee, a long sleeve tee inside to cover it up. Mm. But it's very interesting, because he did it you know, just for fun. But because it is the company's policy, he had to hide it. You know, so it's very much dependent on the company, very much dependent on the person that you're meeting with. But then again, the stigma is always, or the perception is always, if you have too many tattoos, right, it gives people the perception of you are either a biker or you are, you know, a money lender, you know, in clients' mind. So people may have an issue when it comes to trusting you. So if you're someone that loves body art, then I think you need to look for jobs or venture into businesses that allow you to have them, you know. And I also feel that tattoos is it's part of your personal style as well. So you may have your personal preferences. For example, if you are, let's say, a football fan and you have
your football club emblem
there, right? Yeah. And let's say that I'm a client and I'm dead against that club. There you go. So the person may just not want to give you business for a reason that he or she would never want to tell you.
Okay, I'm not getting Liverpool tattooed on myself then.
Ooh.
Okay, what about piercings? I mean, how many piercings are too many piercings?
I think piercings, if it is on your ears, it is okay. Generally, the idea is that you want to have two or three earrings. This is allowable, but not too many. If you can count, if it's exceeding 6, 7, that means it's just too many already. I think it is still not in our culture, unless you belong to, you know, the fashionable group. In arts, in entertainment industry, where it is more acceptable.
Okay. Jewelry. I'm sure in certain industries, jewelry is not acceptable, maybe because they pose a safety risk.
Yeah, I think if you handle food or if you handle medical instruments and all that, right, too many accessories are actually not allowed. But I find accessories is actually very interesting. You need to limit it so that people, when people look at you, you look professional. And one of the things we always say in our classes is that, you know, some people actually like to wear dangling earrings. Mm. And we all know that too much of these dangly things is actually very distracting. So instead of telling people distracting, there's actually a saying to say that feng shui wise, it's actually not good.
Oh, okay.
Because, no, this is just a joke, right? When people are looking at you, they want to concentrate on you. But if your earrings keep on dangle and it's like, you know, my head will follow the movement of your earrings. So you are trying to sell me something, but the head keeps on moving, you know, tak nak beli, tak nak beli. So at the end of the day, the consultant will not be able to sell anything.
The message is not getting through.
Yes. So even like if you see some people wearing hijab and you have that little thing hanging under under the chin, mm-hmm. right? Too much of that, also it is not good.
Okay. When we come back, Wendy talks to us about the exposure principle. Raise your game, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
Raise your game. This is Audrey Raj. Wendy Lee from Chapter One Asia is back with us today in our October special called the Raise Your Game Style Series. She'll be with us every Wednesday this month to talk about how you can portray the best image of yourself in the workplace and maybe even after. And today we're talking about personal grooming. Now, Wendy, some people feel that, you know, if you're overweight, unkempt, sloppy, as employees, you are not as productive as your counterparts. Is there any truth to this?
I mean, think about this. How does one end up being overweight, unkempt, or sloppy in the first place? It certainly didn't happen overnight. And the fact that you can accept being in that state shows where your standards lie. And I always say in the words of T. Harv Eker, how you do everything is how you do everything. So how you take care of your own self will be equivalent to how you take care of your work. In 2013, there was this article that came out in Wall Street Journal. They stated that new research suggests that a few extra pounds or a slightly larger waistline affects an executive's perceived leadership ability as well as stamina on the job. Right.
I can understand stamina, but why leadership?
I think it is the perception as in if you are overweight, you become a little bit lazier and therefore, you know, it will affect your work and you will not lead anyway. People just relate one to the other.
So it seems slightly unfair, but if it is. That is the common perception.
Yeah, it is common perception. And look around you, you'll notice similar things as well happening. I had an overweight ex-colleague once who constantly had our health issues. Today it will be gout, tomorrow it will be high blood pressure. And sometimes when you talk to him, right, you can hear his breath, you know, his wheezing and all that, because he's just overweight. And that actually affects a lot of his work. He's constantly sick. It became a problem. Yeah, bosses were always asking him why was he an MC and all that. So that is actually a problem when you are talking about people that's really, really overweight.
Okay, moving on, Wendy. During the break, you were telling me about something called the exposure principle and how it increases our face value. Could you tell us a bit more about this?
This is interesting theory. Exposure principle states that the more often you are seen by the people, the more attractive and intelligent you will appear to them. That is why, do you know that in sales, right, there is a research, I can't remember where I've read it before, but apparently by the seventh time when you see that person, you would be able to have a connection with that person already. So let's say the first time you meet the person probably do not want to buy from you. Second time you go again, third time you go again, by the seventh time, the person would already, you know, open the door slightly for you already.
So persistence is key.
Yeah. Yes. And so the idea is this. The more people see you, the more attractive and intelligent you appear to them. And so if you are not gifted to have a face of, let's say, Tom Cruise, Aishwarya Rai, you know, then it is time to take advantage of the exposure principle, meaning to say there are certain things that you need to do. You need to take care of your hair, right?
Hair.
Your hair. So make sure that, you know, it is it doesn't cover any part of your face. Make it your crowning glory. People always say this. It's very distracting to have hair covering your face. That's why if you look at newscasters, they always have to have their hair groomed to perfection. So if you have a lot of baby hair, oily hair, split ends, then it just display your lack of self-awareness. So number one, take care of your hair. Number two, take care of your teeth.
Teeth.
Okay. Your teeth will tell a tale about you. So if your teeth is yellow and you look like, you know, or you have vegetables stuck in the teeth. Yeah. So it will actually decrease your face value as well. So in order to increase that, make sure that you have white teeth. Go for scaling. Go for checkup every now and then. And then the last one, take care of your eyes. People who look at you notice your eyes, right? And the clearer your eyes, the more attractive you will appear to be. So if you do have any, you know, bloodshot, dark eye rings, make sure you get enough sleep or use a little bit of concealer, to make you look healthy, fresh.
So that's the exposure principle. Thank you so much, Wendy. Wendy Lee, professional brand image consultant and founder of Chapter One Asia, will be back next week for the final installment of our Raise Your Game style series on your business wardrobe management. If you missed part of this interview or our previous style episodes on first impressions and colours, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on our new mobile app, now available on the App Store and on Google Play. This is Audrey Raj, Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.